Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
The United Nations Special Envoy for the Democratic Republic of Congo has told the UN Security Council that the country is at extreme risk of descending into widespread violence after the postponement of presidential polls. President Joseph Kabila's term of office is supposed to end in December, but the nation's Electoral Commission announced last month that the scheduled elections could not be held in November. The announcement led to protests, which left several people dead. Tom Perriello is the United States Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region of Africa and has recently returned from the Democratic Republic of Congo. He told me about the situation in the country.
The situation in Congo is quite tense, but there remains time that this could be solved peacefully, which is what we all hope. There were serious protests on September 19th for the failure of the Electoral Commission to call elections within the constitutional timeframe. The Congolese people, really across all regions of the country, are eager to let these historic elections go forward. The government responded, unfortunately, with brutal force. Somewhere between 50 and 150 people were killed, mostly by summary execution. There were a handful of police officers killed as well, with protesters who turned violent, as well as the looting in some neighborhoods. So the situation's very serious, but it has pulled back from the brink, and there is room to figure out a reasonable path forward to elections. And I think that's what the United States and many others are hoping will happen.
What do you think a reasonable path forward entails?
Well, you know, we obviously want to defer to the Congolese people on these questions. I think what we hear most often from folks is a desire to get to presidential elections as quickly as possible, and the technical experts agree that that could be done well before the end of 2017, which would be less than a year's delay. And that then produces the difficult question of what the government should look like between the end of President Kabila's mandate this December 19th, his constitutional mandate, and those elections. The Electoral Commission, which is seen as very close to the government, has offered a much longer timeline than what the technical experts have cited. So I think part of the question is how quickly can we move to credible elections? And second is this issue of what does the government look like to be sure that it has the support of the people during that process.
What role does the international community have to play, especially other African states?
Well, we've seen strong leadership from the Angolans and others in convening the International Conference of the Great Lakes region to show a seriousness about this. I think the violence on September 19th and 20th was seen by many as a preview of much larger scale violence and instability that could come if President Kabila tries to stay without having reached a deal on what this transition will look like. So we see a lot of support from the region. Certainly the bishops within Congo and the Vatican here have been very engaged in the process as well. And since the last time we saw civil war in Congo, it was the deadliest modern war in decades. Over 20 countries ended up with troops on the ground. Everyone understands that this is a worst-case scenario that we cannot afford to reach. Of course, it also has the largest international peacekeeping force in the world, the MINUSCO effort, which our government funds to the tune of several hundred million dollars a year. And I think there's an effort to see this as a positive turning of the page, this first peaceful democratic transition of power that's such a crucial turning point in so many countries. And I think we haven't lost sight of the fact that this could end up being a very positive story.
You mentioned the Holy See. You mentioned the church in the Congo. What in particular do you think the role is that both those institutions can play?
I'd say the Catholic Church is quite possibly the most respected institution in the country and one with the largest reach into communities really across the entire country. Its bishops and its various charity programs serve both Catholics and non-Catholics alike. And the bishops made a difficult decision to be part of this recent dialogue process under African Union auspices that was seen quite controversially by the Congolese people. I think many feared that this was something biased towards President Kabila. We thought it was important to give dialogue a chance. We appreciated the bishops played a role there. And I think unlike some of the political actors who the Congolese people fear are more looking out for themselves than necessarily the country as a whole, there was a sense that the bishops were a voice for the national interest and really were looking for trying to make it a success, but also showed that they needed to walk away when certain indications were clear that this was not a process headed towards a credible result. They've also pushed the opposition very hard to keep a nonviolent stance. That's not always been the case in Congo's history. But from over a year ago forward, the bishops have made very clear that they will condemn efforts by the opposition that appear to be tilting towards towards violence. So that's kept the opposition, again, largely united in a nonviolent context. It's shown the government a willingness to come together if the will is there. And while our understanding of the reports from the visit between the Pope and President Kabila, that those same messages were expressed about the importance of allowing peaceful political participation in a move towards elections.
Going back, you mentioned this national reconciliation process and mentioned the bishops were part of it. Just to clarify, the bishops also removed themselves from this process, saying that it wasn't fair. Can you kind of tell us exactly what the process was meant to be and what the problem with it was in the end?
Sure. I think that most people agree that there is a desire to move towards credible elections in a timely manner. And probably two of the most important issues in the dialogue to most Congolese people that we've met with are, again, a date certain for elections and a clear public commitment from President Kabila that he intends to hand over or transfer power after those elections, which would be the first peaceful democratic transition in the history of DRC. The bishops had made clear from the beginning that they were attending to try to produce a resolution consistent with the Constitution, which calls for those things. I think in the process, there were several concerns that came up from the stakeholders that were present, including some opposition leaders and other civil society leaders. One was an increasingly clear sense that the president was not prepared to make an unambiguous public statement about his intention to transfer power after elections. And the second was that the date of elections kept slipping further and further into the future. I was there, and the first few days of dialogue, the presentation by the technical experts made everyone feel very confident that elections could be held inside 2017. The Electoral Commission a few days later told us it was going to need to be spring of 2018. And then the day before the dialogue was supposed to conclude, the Electoral Commission suddenly nearly doubled its own estimate in a way that would take President Kabila's stay in power into 2019. And this was just such a clear, I think, breach of trust in the process, particularly at the 11th hour, that it made many people feel like this was a process meant to try to maximize opportunities to stay in power. But again, this is a dialogue among Congolese stakeholders, and there's still a desire to find a format, either a revised version of the existing dialogue or a new one, to work out these questions. The sequence of elections and other things are important, and I think the bishops, among many others, are trying to be responsible actors finding a reasonable solution. Now, as one of the things that concerns us as the United States is that we believe there is a very strong sentiment among Congolese actors, the so-called Congolese street, that the default position is that Kabila must go this December 19th with or without elections. That is a recipe probably for significant street protests that may well meet with significant violence and send us into a very destabilizing situation. Given that that is the sentiment of a large number of people and organizations across the country, it creates the urgency now for a deal to be struck. But so far, we've not seen the political will from the government side to genuinely start moving in that direction. We hope that that's happening now.
In the Congo, of course, there has been ongoing violence in the east of the country, especially. How is that situation right now? Is it getting any better, and how is it affecting this whole situation with the elections?
You know, we've obviously seen for far too long the persistence of armed groups and negative forces in eastern Congo. We've seen a particular spike in brutal killings, including of women and small babies in the Beni area in North Kivu. This has been caused by many factors, including governance gaps and a failure to approve joint operations with MONUSCO on the part of the government. This has been going on far too long. Citizens want it to change. And to be honest, I think people hold President Kabila responsible in many ways, having been the incumbent now for 15 years, that the status on the ground tends to be something that the existing president has to answer for, as well as those of us in the international community that have been trying to address it. But first and foremost, we need to address the direct threat to civilians, and we need accountability for those who are behind, particularly these recent atrocities in Beni, and that overall there is no shortcut to good governance. We need the kind of credible governance across that region that can help not just address this in a military sense, but root out some of the underlying causes.
That was Tom Perriello, the United States Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region of Africa.